We're starting a new semester of Ein Yaakov. Ein Yaakov is a work that distills the Talmud to the stories and the agadic parts of the Talmud. So the Ein Yaakov was written as a book that will take out all the stories and agadot, the parts that are agadic in their nature in the Talmud. And we have commentaries printed all around it, so it's pleasurable learning. It's like learning Medrash. It's like learning stories. And the Ein Yaakov was written before the Shulchan Aruch, before the Codex. Ein Yaakov was written in the early 15th century. It's an ancient work. Basically, again, it's working off of the Talmud. For a more in-depth, a broader introduction, you could go online on TorahForMe.org. In the beginning of the series, I gave a long introduction about the historical importance of this work, how there were periods where the Talmud was banned for decades throughout Europe, and this was the only copy of Talmud that people could learn, and historically about how many shuls would learn Ein Yaakov between Mincha and Maariv in the afternoons and the evenings. So this is a work that that's been a part of our heritage for over half a millennia. We're continuing the Ein Yaakov on Shabbos, and we're up to page Lamed Aleph in the Talmud, which is page Yudad Amud Beis Ein Yaakov's. God willing, next week we'll have photocopies for everyone. Right now we only have one copy of the text. Yeah?
I know that Midrash, we don't take all the stories as fact, right? Do Talmudic stories, or we accept them all as they happened? Or no?
So you want a broader introduction, okay. So we have to wonder, why did the Talmud tell us things, stories, and there isn't one rule. Some of the stories the Talmud tells us is to tell us what happened, and sometimes the Talmud tells us to give us a message, but it's not to be taken literally. And sometimes the Talmud is telling us something else. What does that mean? Parts of our tradition are overt and parts of it are held as secrets. We couldn't take all of our tradition and put it into writing. There are ideas that the rabbis had on tradition and they did not want to repeat overtly. They didn't want to write them in the Talmud and they didn't want to say them openly in the speeches. So the rabbis developed a code where they could describe a story, and to the layman he heard a nice story. But to one who was more learned, he understands that the story came to address a certain philosophical question and gave us an insight to answer a deep question about philosophy, understanding God's running of the world. And the Midrashim are in general working around the great question. That's in our thought, it's one of the central questions of humanity, of how God runs the world. Why is there evil in the world? Why is there suffering? Why is the world the way we see it? So there's a basic question, and there are many facets to the answer. And the Midrashim, to the layman, they're giving a nice story with an important message. The more you learn, the more you'll learn the different codes, and you'll start understanding the layers, the messages, the meta messages that are being given over within the story. So we have a rule that King Solomon teaches us in the opening lines of Mishlei, of Proverbs, that King Solomon tells us a formula. He says, whenever you're going to give an allegory, if you're a smart person, then your allegory has to have a message, even if the guy doesn't get the point. Meaning, you're saying an allegory. Some people walk away and all they remember is the story. So if all they remember is the story, what will they walk away with? So a smart person makes it that even if they only remember the story, they don't remember the point the story is trying to make, they will also walk away with a message. And so the stories that the Talmud brings us have a message even in their simplistic form. The more we understand, the more we can understand what they're alluding to. So now we'll begin.